And we're back here on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94. Pleased to be joined now by the Assistant Executive Director with the Kansas State High School Activities Association, Jeremy Holliday. First of all, Jeremy, thanks for taking some time to join us here. I know I've told you this before in person, but ever since you took over the media part of things, it's been a lot easier to go to state competitions. So I want to thank you for that, and thank you for joining us here today, all right?
Hey, it's my pleasure to join you guys. Anything I can do to make you guys' lives easier, that's my job, so I'm glad to hear that. It's a pleasure to be with you guys today.
And one of the things that we want to talk with you about is the new book that's coming out, and today is the last day to get a discount on this, and that's really why we wanted to get you on here to get that out there. But, I'm looking at it. It's a very interesting book, it looks like, called Under the Lights, 50 Years of Kansas State High School Activities Association Football Playoffs. Where did the idea, I guess, come for the book, and how has it been to try to actually get this all put together and get it out to the public?
Yeah, it's interesting. It certainly has come to fruition rather quickly. But last fall, we were in the later half of the season for football. But I was talking with Brett Marshall, who is the main compiler of the book. We were talking on the phone. He's a retired sports writer, and he had just retired at the time. So we were just talking, and then we just thought about history projects that are on the edge for the Activity Association, and if there's anything he could help out with. And we both kind of brainstormed at the fact that we're towards the end of the 50th year in high school football playoffs, which, if you think about it, there's two different ways to think about it. Well, that's a good piece of history, but also I can't believe it's only been 50 years that we've had playoffs. But anyway, so we said, well, let's see what we can do there. And eventually we came to the point that we think we could write a book. And, what started out as maybe, a 90-page, 100-page, nice little brief history piece turned into about 240 pages of we have 19 chapters that covers about 100 pages in the book, just about various features, stories on some of the most successful coaches and players and programs in the state, and then, over, 200, almost 200 pages of records and just history notes, and it's just, so that's it, and that kind of all came together since last November, so, and really in the last 8 months, so it's been fun.
As you talk about a lot of different chapters in here, I actually have pulled up all the different chapters that are in the book. And you talk about all the greats in Kansas football history. I'm interested to maybe read a little bit about Terrence Newman and the Salina things. But when we're talking North Central Kansas, there's obviously a program about 45 miles away from us to the northwest in Smith Center that has had a great run. I'm sure there's something about Coach Barta in there, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly a feature that Smith Center dominance is featured in the book, and nice little feature for Coach Barta and the Smith Center program. Obviously, we can't do anything close to the entire book that was made about them and our boys, so we don't want to try to overshadow that, so that's for sure. So that is well-documented history. But, no, you're right. That area that you guys are in, your listeners, is just really successful in football. I mean, I was kind of looking before the interview, I was just kind of looking through our playoff records or state championship records, and I'm seeing schools, all over, like Beloit, Stockton, Osborne, Phillipsburg, Smith Center, of course, down to Salina, but just they're all over the records book. I mean, you think about the championships and playoff appearances and victories they've had is certainly featured in this 50-year history.
Obviously, we don't want to give away everything in the book, but maybe what are some of your favorite parts of this, maybe the project, and maybe some of your favorite chapters that personally that you see in the book that maybe a lot of people might not know about out here?
Right. So there's the number one, the overarching theme of the book, and if you've seen a picture of the cover, is you've seen a scoreboard that's 1-0 and a final score. And obviously, anybody that knows at least a little bit about football knows that that's not right. 1-0 doesn't exist. Well, unfortunately, in the late 60s, when this all started, it did. because they didn't have a way. The way they broke a tie was based on penetrations. And in a certain game, Shawnee Mission North, Shawnee Mission South, they had, it was 0-0 after the end of the fourth quarter. And so the rule or the procedures in place at that time was whoever had the most penetrations inside the 5, inside the 10, or inside the 20-yard line would win. And Shawnee Mission North had one more penetration, had a penetration inside the 5-yard line than the other, and so they won 1-0. And so that is a big chapter in the book, mm-hmm. and I think there's so many details that go along with that that I think a historian or a football fan will just really, really enjoy, because that set the tone for what not only our playoff structure evolves into over time, but also an overtime rule that the entire country knows and uses now. So Kansas set the foundation for what we know as overtime for football, and so that's pretty cool when you think about the impact that has. My second favorite thing is probably we have a legendary coaches chapter where we touch on some of the best that have coached the game in the state, and it's just, you know, kind of quick hitters, you know, paragraphs and features about just what they are and what their programs were. So you get to read about 4 or 5 guys that are just, you know, figured it out and are still figuring it out. So you see that there's consistencies among those programs of what it really takes to be successful.
I do want to throw out here, as I'm looking through these chapters, there is a sidebar about Wichita Carroll, Coach Dusty Trail. He's actually a native of Osborne, so the people that are listening in Osborne, this is another incentive for them to check out the book with his success there at Bishop Carroll. I know he played in the Shrine Bowl when he was at Osborne back when he was in high school. So this covers the entire state, right? Just all over the place. Everybody in this state will enjoy this book, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what I've told people is, you know, obviously you are limited in some capacity, mm-hmm. to tell a story. We think we did a pretty good job of covering big school, small school, west, east, north, south, a little bit everywhere. But what I've told people is, if your story's not in here, okay, if your story isn't not in here, but you were involved in football in some way, whether you played it, coached it, were a parent of it, or a brother or sister of it, this makes you think of your story.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you're sitting there, and we might not have had a chapter on your school, but it makes you think that it makes you remember Friday night and all the good times it came with, and the lessons you learned, and just your experiences. So I think it creates a conversation. It makes you sit down and go, remember that one time? Remember when we were down in the fourth quarter? And if that's what that creates, that's what this book helps facilitate. That's what we've accomplished our goal.
Again, we're talking with Jeremy Holliday. He's the Assistant Executive Director with the Kansas State High School Activities Association. All right, Jeremy, how can people get this book? What's the cost, and where can they go to get this book?
Well, right now, the best way to do it, and you need to do it right now, is go to just kshsaa.org. You'll see a link there to purchase the book. It'll take you to a website that's dedicated to the book, and you can buy it right now for $15, and you can do that before midnight tonight to get the $15 special. So you can get that in your hands by August 15th. We're putting the finishing touches on it right now, and it'll be go to press later this week, so we can have it to you as soon as we can. But then after that, we'll still have it for sale. It'll be online for sale. It'll just go up to $20, and then we'll have it on sale at rivalry games across the state. We're planning to try to touch a game and each part of the state, if not one or two games, where we'll have it on sale at that game. So we'll push that out on social media as best we can. We'll have it at the state championship games in November. And then we'll have it here in the office if people who are in Topeka and want to stop by. And if you don't want to order online, we will have an order form online that you can print off and send in a check for a book. So we have multiple ways to get it, but certainly go do it right now so you can get it for $15.
What do people follow you on social media? Since you brought that up, what's the best way to do that?
Just go to KS, just our Kasia account on Twitter is just KSHSAA.
All right, so that will be updates on there. as far as that's concerned. So, again, I'm looking forward to reading this book, to be completely honest with you. I think it'll be a lot of fun to check it out once it comes out and be able to read it. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Also, while I got you here, Jeremy, I want to touch on a couple other things maybe that are going on with Casey. I know in the last minutes, you guys were talking about, and this kind of ties into football and maybe the way championship football might change here in the future, but I know one of the things that's happening around the state right now is there's a lot of six-man teams that are being involved, and it sounds like there might be maybe a presentation put together to possibly try to get six-man sanctioned by Casey. Where does that stand right now?
Well, obviously, there is kind of a swell of schools in the northwest part of the state that are participating in six-man. That's no secret. You know, Dodge City hosts a shootout at the end of the year for six-man football, and it's a pretty successful event from all everything we hear. So that is something that's on the rise. So we always want to keep our eyes and ears to what is going on with our schools out there, and this is something that has been brought to us to put a little more focus on, because we think that is trending that direction. Right now, we're in the information gathering stage about what do we think the future is for football at the six-man level, at the eight-man level, at the 11-man level, just so we can make the best decision we can, so we don't make a rash decision and say eliminate a division of eight man or add because we added six man or you know fluctuate the numbers just because of what's going on right now. We want to look in the future, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road to see this is what we think our numbers are going to be in six man football, in eight man football, so we can make the best decision. So right now we're going we're kind of surveying all 2A, 1A schools just to see where they think their future looks like as far as playing football. And then, you know, from there, our boards will kind of make decisions as we need to.
So there's the update on that. One other thing that I've not actually had a chance to talk with somebody about this with Keisha, and I know Mark Lentz is the guy that really takes care of wrestling, but what's been the feedback ever since you guys approved girls wrestling in the state of Kansas?
Very positive. Mm-hmm. I think it was the right decision for our state at this point in time. I think we're going to see a good – we don't have exact numbers, obviously, right now with us because we haven't yet to start school. But
sure.
If you just – I mean, you know, from my perspective, you know, I monitor our social media accounts. We have schools, you know, tweeting all summer about girls practicing in the wrestling room, getting ready for the school year. And you know, from schools that – you know, honest that I'd never saw it from before. So I think once girls realized that they were going to get a chance to wrestle other girls for a state championship, it really got them out. You know, they may have been on the fence about it, but once they knew they're going to get this opportunity, it brought them out, and that's exactly what the goal is accomplishing. Because if you look at, you know, one of the strongest presentations made at the board of directors from the McPherson coach was that the opportunities for girls athletically in the winter is not as much because they can't wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And then so if you start thinking about that, and now we're getting more girls involved in school activities, that's exactly what we stand for. That's our mission, is getting kids involved, because we know the importance of school athletics and activities. So, you know, so to end shortly, yes, it's very positive. I can't wait for it. It'll be that Thursday in Salina before the boys' state wrestling. So, you know, I'm expecting good numbers and good turnout. It'll be fun.
Again, we're with Jeremy Holliday, the Assistant Executive Director at the Kansas State High School Activities Association. One more thing I want to ask you about, and then we'll let you go, Jeremy. One of the big discussions, I guess, right now in the state is the public-private discussion, where public schools, you know, maybe feel the private schools might have some kind of advantage, you know, with the way they go out and have their numbers and the advantage of winning more state championship is basically what it comes down to that people are talking about. I know that the state has kind of been trying to address this issue in different ways and kind of gathering information, seeing what other states are doing, but where does the state sit on that right now?
Well, you know, right now I think this same someone like you and someone like me had the same conversation 40 years ago on a radio interview. So, you know, that's not to say that we'll never get it solved or we'll just stop trying. But the point is that this has been, you know, the center point and a conversation for a long, long time. And so to think that we're just going to get it solved in the next year certainly is not plausible. But we are continuing to talk to our schools. That's the number one thing that we have to do. Is we have had some data given to us from some surveys, but we want to do our own research with our current member schools and see if they're really feeling that this is an issue that we need to address and try to prepare better for. So we're going to hit the local schools and local league meetings as best we can. Our staff is going to go out there to each league and just have a sounding board a moment and talk about this is the issue. What do you think is the best way to do it? Is it a modifier? Is it a success factor? Is it? Maybe it's not even an issue. Maybe we come back and feel like, well, it's not an issue anywhere but this place, you know. So we really want to listen to our member schools. We know that, you know, Missouri, they have a multiplier, and I think they're going to a success factor, actually. Those type of adjustments to classification, is that the right thing for Kansas? Kansas is very unique, right? We have private schools that in the 5A category that get pretty large, almost up to 900 kids, and then we have private schools that are in the 20s, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, it's not as simple as saying, well, let's just put them in their own division. If that's the will of member schools, obviously that's what we'll do, but I think I don't know if that's the best thing for Kansas.
We talk about that all the time here, yeah. It's like right. Tipton can't be playing Bishop Meade's, right?
right. Yeah, I don't think anybody in their right mind would say that. Yeah, that's a smart decision. So, you know, I'm sure those boys from Tipton would give it everything they had. But, you know, we want to make sure Kansas is going to do what's right for Kansas. We don't, you know, we can look at what other states are doing all day long. Trust me, we just got back from a summer meeting where we talk about this stuff. And I can tell you, like Colorado, they went to power rankings for their playoffs. And so they think that will kind of breed a better champion, right? They'll get the right champion. And so I asked them, I said, well, so did you get new people winning championships? No, same people still won. So the lesson learned is that, you know, tradition is very key.
Mm-hmm.
And tradition of success continues. So that's the consistency schools look for. They're always looking for, and the successful ones have had it. So we can talk about classifications, playoff structures, and all that, but when it comes down to hard work and setting a tone for what your school wants to be, that's really what it boils down to. So, you know, it is the topic of championships, and, you know, I think it'll continue to be a topic, and as soon as we do something, if we do something, I'm sure someone won't like it, someone will like it. So, you know, that's kind of the nature of the business and the world, but I think as long as people keep continuing to care about it, that's not a bad thing.
No, not at all. Now, Jeremy Holliday, again, the Assistant Executive Director from Kansas State High School Activities Association. Give him one more time. Tell us how we can get that book, Under the Lights.
Yeah, Under the Lights, 50 Years of KSHSA Football Playoffs, right now for sale, $15. Go to kshsaa.org and get that right now for $15, and it'll go up to $20 tomorrow. So if you want to act fast, just go to that website, click on Purchase Now, and we'll get that book to you as soon as it's printed. We're printing it next week, so then we'll get it to your hands as soon as we can.
Perfect. Jeremy, we thank you for the time, man.
All right. I appreciate it.
And that'll wrap it up here on the Sports Ticket today. Jeremy Holliday joining us to wrap it up on KD Country 94. Stay tuned. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on Waterside Wake Up.